morning again. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Jason Grogan. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much for this opportunity to share this morning what you have done in my life. Lord, I just ask that you be with Pastor David and his family as they travel this week, Lord, to see Jake and his family. Give them safe travels. Let them enjoy their time together. Lord, also be with Pastor Bob and Pat as they have traveled to Michigan to go see the new grandbaby. Lord, that you will watch over them and keep them safe. And Lord, I just want to lift up a special prayer for my son this morning as he gets ready to head back to Iraq, that you will watch over him and his men and keep them safe. And Lord, once again, I thank you so much for the opportunity to come and to share. In your name, amen. As you know, a few months ago, we started Celebrate Recovery here at church. This was something that Pastor David had approached me about a year and a half or so ago to see about doing. And at the time, I was reluctant to do it. Reason being is because I thought it was going to be more of, oh man, I got to listen to everybody's problems and try to fix them. I don't like doing that. I have enough problems of my own trying to fix. And the more we talked about it, the more we prayed about it, the more we looked into the program and started realizing that's not what it's about. It's about coming together and having Christ fix you. It's just doing it with others. And being a former military man who's used to doing some stuff on his own, but a lot of it as a team, I thought, hey, this would be good stuff because God has been central to my own recovery. So I'm going to kind of do a recap of what Pastor David just went over the last 8 weeks. He went over the 8 principles, and I'm going to kind of look at some of the 12 steps, but I'm also going to throw in there my own steps that I've used. They coincide with the 12 steps, but I just shortened them down because I like just jamming everything in there. So on a normal meeting night, this is how things would start off. Hi, I'm Jason. I struggle with alcohol, drugs, PTSD, anger, depression, and the list continues to grow. You'll see why here in a little bit. Because part of recovery is discovering you have issues. One of the things I love about this Celebrate Recovery program is the fact is it's not just about addictions, okay? A lot of those who are attending, yes, have struggled with addictions. A lot of them have tried AA, NAA, the various programs, and didn't really get a good grasp. Reason being is because they were missing one key ingredient. Yes, AA and them talk about identifying with a higher power, but that's what they leave it at. It's just a higher power. Well, in this world, as we know, there's umpteen million of them anymore, right? Unfortunately, this is, you know, and this is what I tease my kids about, is that technology is good for some things, and it's bad for other things. I think one of the bad things is the fact is now we know we have access to any kind of knowledge. When I grew up, the only religions I knew about was Christianity, Judaism. I knew a little bit about kind of like a Hindu, Buddha-based religion because we had a cult in our town that was based on that stuff. And I knew about the Catholics. I knew about Mormons because I have a lot of my family were Mormons. I knew about Jehovah's Witnesses. That's it. I didn't know about Muhammad. I didn't know about all these other ones. And now with technology, boy, they can research it, can't they? And so, one of the things about recovery is getting your hands on the knowledge. One of the things that I love about our Celebrate Recovery program is if you come on a Thursday night, when you walk in, you're going to see like literally 4 tables set up full of information. Pastor David, I know, has looked at those, and later on in the slideshow, you're going to see some examples of our hurts, our habits, and our hang-ups. I grew up in a small town, kind of like Concordia. not much to do. Kind of like Concordia, not a whole lot to do for the teens. So growing up, I grew up in a very conservative Baptist church. For my kids, I describe it as if, and I've made them watch the movie so they know the reference, but if you've seen the movie Footloose, and I'm not talking about the new one, I'm talking about the original, I'm an original movie guy. I don't like these new remakes. That was the type of church I grew up in, where the ladies, if you came to church in anything but a skirt or a dress, you were asked to leave. Yeah, it was crazy. So you guys that love, you know, your suits, and I have nothing against suits, I just don't like wearing them. All the guys had to wear them. And for us young guys, we had to, you know, we had to be halfway presentable. There was no such thing as shorts, no sandals, none of that stuff. We were taught that if music made you feel like dancing, it was a sin. It was that kind of a church. So I kind of had a very strict upbringing. As I got older, I started rebelling. Because it was a small town, there wasn't much to do but drink and get in trouble. I was king of drinking and getting in trouble. By the time I was 16, I had an arrest record probably longer than my leg. I couldn't stay out of trouble because that was all there was to do. I had walked away to church by then because I wasn't agreeing what was being preached with what I was reading in my own Bible. So I started getting in trouble. And it got to the point where I had a choice, join the military or go to jail. Military sounded a lot better. Some days I wish I would have went to jail. I wouldn't have this thing. No. So I got into the military and excelled really fast. Got selected for some special assignments pretty soon. Became part of a special team. Was doing stuff my family had no clue about. One of the drawbacks was some of the effects that it was having on me, and I wasn't realizing it. Some of the things that we did, some of the places we went, some of the things we saw, I deal with it now. This is why I struggle with PTSD. But during my time, the military was infamous for really, and luckily nowadays they're cracking down more on it. But they were heavily into allowing drug abuse. Matter of fact, they were a pretty good supplier of it. And so I got into the drugs while I was in the military because some of the missions, when you have to lay in one spot for 4 days, you kind of need something to keep you awake. And they supplied that stuff for us. And so it got heavily involved. I started getting injured as well. Started having to be on prescription pain meds. These things. It came to a boiling point. I got injured. I got shot twice. That didn't stop me. Got blown up twice. That didn't stop me. It took one stupid jump from an airplane, because that was one of the things that we loved doing, to break me. And eventually, it led to me looking like this. But I continued to abuse the drugs, the alcohol. By then, I was married, had a few kids, was not a very nice guy. My wife had no clue most of the stuff that was going on. I kept it from them. That's one of the parts about addictions is you tend to hide it. And so it got to a boiling point when in the end of 98, my dad passed away. And we had his funeral on New Year's Eve, 1998, going into 99. Went out with my friends, got really, really drunk, passed out, took everybody to carry me back to the car, get me home. Next morning, I woke up feeling like total junk, and I cried out to God. And I said, I know you're real. I read about you. I knew about you. I had accepted Christ when I was younger, but I hadn't been living the lifestyle. And I knew it that I needed God's help. And I said, God, if you're real, and I know you are, I need your help. And he spoke to me that day. And what had touched me and led me to that point was my dad's dying words to me. It was, get right with God. He knew I was spiraling down bad. And so that brings me to our first step. We admitted we were powerless over our addictions and compulsive behaviors and that our lives had become unmanageable. I was a total wreck. The military, I was on my way out. I still had a couple more years of out processing to go. They don't ever do anything in a hurry. For those of you who have served, you know this. The hurry up and wait slogan, yeah, it's even worse when you're trying to get out. This has been one of the verses that has carried me through. I know nothing good lives in me, that it's my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what's good, but I cannot carry it out. One of the things since that day, since God spoke to me, I immediately quit the drinking. I immediately quit the drugs. That same time, I had quit smoking and quit chewing. Took me 5 years to quit chewing. Took me overnight to quit smoking. I was one grumpy dude. I mean, to quit all that and to turn my life over to God, because I told him, I said, if you can help me quit this stuff, I'm yours. Little did I know that he would call me into the ministry. It's been wild. My first step was I realized I had a problem. I thought I could handle it. For years, I thought I could handle it. Couldn't handle it. I tried. I was court-ordered AA multiple times. Never worked. Why? Because the court made me go. I didn't want to do it. Wasn't until I finally realized I had a problem and I needed help that I did it. So our step two is that we became to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Boy, I needed that big time. And I knew only God could do it. My dad was a model for me. Quiet guy, strong, never complained. Worked in one factory until it shut down for 26 years, never missed a day of work. Mom would tell me stories about dad going to work with 102 temperature. Wow. But he was a great model. And those words impacted me. And I knew that it was God that was going to take me there. And here's the verse that goes with that. It is God who works in you and the will to act according to his good purpose. It's God. I mean, this whole process has been God. And I'm still a work in progress. Even though I've kicked some of these things, it seems like more and more has surfaced. I was diagnosed with PTSD almost 2 years ago. I didn't realize it. I thought, hey, everybody acted like this. It was my wife, I won't say nagging, because she doesn't nag me. She urges me. She urged me to seek help because she saw that there were still a lot of issues going on. And when I went, wow, I was amazed because I didn't realize that I was acting that way. And that's what's happens with a lot of our veterans. So my second step was I knew only God could help me overcome my problems. And knowing that didn't mean just saying, oh, okay, God, you're going to help it, and I'm done. No. It took a lot of back and forth struggling. Because our will wants to do one thing, and God says, no. No, there's going to be things you have to do. I had to turn away from friends and some family because I couldn't be around them anymore because they aided in some of these addictions. They aided in some of these behaviors, and that was tough. This is my life verse ever since I gave my life that day, and it's very familiar. My kids have it memorized, and this is one that we all... I mean, every time I face something tough, this verse is in my mind. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Why? Because I got to rely on him. Because the years and years I tried doing it myself, it didn't work. We made a decision to turn our wills and lives over to the care of God. Like I said, God, if you can help me through this, I'm yours. Within a couple months... We were living in Omaha at the time, and we had started at a church there in Omaha, and the youth pastor approached me, and said, hey, I think you need to be working with youth. And I said, hey, I think you're nuts. If you knew half the stuff that, well, one, that I'm dealing with right now, but that what I've done in my life, you wouldn't be talking to me. And he sat me down, and we chatted for a while, and it was funny because he was a Jason, I'm a Jason, he's a big guy, I'm a big guy. We started talking, and our lives almost paralleled. It was crazy how God was working. The only difference was is that I served in the military, he didn't. Other than that, we had a lot of things in common. Both were teen parents. Oh, yeah, I left that part out. My wife and I were teen parents. I was 19, she was 16. When we got married, and 2 months later, we had our daughter, who just turned 24. So I'm getting old. Man, it's scary. But God was working. And it was funny, because I started an internship with him. I actually started volunteering, and after a while, that turned into an internship. And then God put a place, started putting a tugging on my heart, saying, you need to go full-time. And I went home and I told my wife, I said, you know, God's telling me I need to go full-time ministry. And my wife says, as long as we're not missionaries, we're cool. God laughed, made us missionaries. I went to my mom and I said, Mom, I'm going full-time ministry. And she goes, about time. What? And she goes, I knew it. She had been saving for years all kinds of different Bibles and commentaries and different books for me. So the start of my library was from my mom. She said, I just knew you had to get the wild out of you to be an example, because you can take that and use it. And I have. I've spoke at camps. I've spoke at different conferences. I've been working with youth now for almost 20 years. And I even tell my own kids, I'm not saying this stuff to brag. I'm hoping to help you see that even if you're messing up, God can still use you. I would like it if you don't mess up, especially my own kids, but we all do, because we all have that sinful nature. We made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Man, this is the toughest thing in this, is to sit down and start listing all the things. And when I started out, and I had to have and this is something we teach in Celebrate Recovery, is you got to have a accountability partner to help you through this. Not to hold your hand, but to encourage you. Because when I sit down and start making a list, when I started making it, it was all negative. I mean, I'm putting all the bad stuff, boom, 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 all the times I got arrested, all the times, you know, I was drunk or high or, you know, abusive, you know, all these things. And my buddy said, no. He goes, what about the good things? What about your kids? What about, you know, your ministry? What about, you know, these things? And start listening. And you have to make an even list, because otherwise, if you get in a negative mindset, it's easy to relapse. Because after, when I first started making that list, boy, I wanted to climb back in a bottle. I really did. But he helped me out. And so it takes a little bit. And it says in Lamentations 3:40, we have to examine our ways and test them. And the key thing is you've got to return to the Lord. And every time I start having bad thoughts, every time I want to start having an episode, I got to remember that God is there, and I got to turn it over to him and ask for his help. We admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. This was part of why we talk about in Celebrate Recovery, talk about accountability partners and sponsors, is having someone there to listen, to help you. I have several of them. I have a bunch around the country that if I start having certain thoughts or whatever, I give them a call. They know. And what's cool about them, and I'm a sponsor for several people too, is that it doesn't matter what time of day, night, whatever. We call them up. I mean, it's, you know, a lot of times it's easy to admit to God, because, you know, God's like not, I mean, yes, we talk about it. You know, he's spiritually present. We know he's here right now. But I can't see him. I can see him in you guys, But, you know, so it's a little easier to tell him. It's a little harder to tell myself. But, boy, it's really tough telling someone else. And especially when I had to start telling my wife some of the things because I hid so much of this from her. I wouldn't have blamed her for leaving me. I mean, there was points she about did, but she hung in and has been my greatest strength. We're to confess our sins to each other and pray for each other that we may be healed. That's a big thing. You know, even in your spiritual walk, it doesn't matter if you're struggling with any hurts, habits, or hang-ups. Having an accountability partner is key to spiritual growth because you always have someone praying for you. You always have someone that's got your back. That was one of the things that was pressed into us in the military. You know, that it drove me nuts there for a while when they had that slogan, an army of one. That was bull. That doesn't happen. The army doesn't teach that. You are a partner. You have a battle buddy. Why? Because if you fall, he picks you up. You know, the Bible talks about that. A cord of two or more strands cannot be easily broken because you've got each other's back. And in recovery, you have to have that. You got to have someone that's got your back. Which leads me here. It was my third step. I had to find that accountability partner. Like I said, I found, now over the years, I've gotten several. But I started off with my buddy Jason, and that's who got me into ministry. But because he was on the same road that I was, he was just a few years ahead of me in recovery. And so he's been a godsend. We were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. He's still removing defects of my character. I mean, this is a never-ending process because we discover more and more about ourselves because the more you look inside, the more messed up you realize you are. Some of you can sit out there and be like, oh, I ain't got nothing wrong. You're lying to yourself. I'm sorry. We all have a sinful nature, so we have something wrong right there. And if you don't have Christ in your life, there's your biggest mistake. It wasn't until I turned my life over to Christ that my marriage got better. Has life been a bed of roses since then? Oh, no. I mean, this last year, I've lost my brother and my mom. That's not a good year. And boy, did I really want to go off the deep end. But my accountability partners and my family has kept me together. This is a tough one sometimes, is humbling ourselves before the Lord. But the promise, look at that promise. He will lift you up. This is what I love about God's word. There's so much promise and hope in there. And that's a problem that a lot of people with addictions and struggles face, is they have no hope. Jesus Christ is our hope. And until you realize that, you're not going anywhere in your recovery. And if you come on a Thursday night, and I encourage you all, because trust me, y'all have some form of a hurt, a habit, and a hang-up that you need help with. Here's some of those. You know, a lot of them think it's just addictions, but we have codependency, compulsions, eating disorders, gambling, indecisiveness, anger, control, fear. You can see there's a lot of them. And this is just like not even the tip of the iceberg. As I've gone through my recovery process, I keep adding to my list. I'm going, just what I think I'm doing good, God, you point out something else. But the cool thing of it is, he goes, hey, I'm still here. I'm still going to help you out. Step 7, we humbly ask him to remove all of our shortcomings. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Wow. Boom, stop right there. If we could live this out every day, just that, how much better would you be? Think about it. So we made a list, and here was another one that was tough. Of all the people we'd harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Because the golden rule, we know, do to others as you would have them do to you. And then we made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. This was tough for me because some of the stuff that I had done, especially with the military, I couldn't tell my family. I still can't tell my family. I can tell them that there was things that I did that they don't get to know. And with my son being in the military, he's like, come on, Dad, you can tell me. No, I can't. I seriously can't. Not that I don't want to, because I would love to unburden that. I'm just contractually can't tell. And that's tough. To ever hold a secret from your loved ones is tough. But they understand. And they've helped me get through this. And there's been some people that I didn't get a chance to go back to and apologize to, make amends to. There's just some situations you can't change. The forgiveness, though, comes with yourself. I had to forgive myself for some of those things that I did because I'll never have a chance to ask for forgiveness of that person. And the only one I'm really hurting on some of that is myself. Because think about it. There's times in your life where you have actions that you don't realize affected others. And sometimes you might have made someone mad, but they're long gone. They really don't care. It ain't bothering them. I did this one time. One of my issues with anger is road rage. I'm getting better. Especially when I live in a small town like this, it's great. When I go back, because, you know, we've lived in big cities. We lived in Fort Worth. We lived in Omaha. We were in Manhattan before we came here. I get in a big city. Boy, I have a hard time not wanting to just shoot people. I'm sorry, but I'm a very aggressive driver, and it drives me nuts. And I had one time that I pulled up to a stop sign. And actually, I had a yield sign, a person across. And Concordia has weird streets. You all notice that? Some of the weirdest, like one side's a yield, the other's a stop. Okay. I pulled up to one of those one day, and there was someone coming, you know, and it seemed like, man, every time I'd get ready to go, and I had a buddy's truck, I was hauling some stuff, and I was going to return it. And so I'm needing to turn left. And I'm waiting. And pretty soon someone comes, you know, across the way, and they stop, you know. So then as soon as, boom, it's clear, I start to go. This person goes. Oh, I about come unglued. I'm like, you know, I didn't say anything bad. I was probably thinking it. I didn't do any gestures, but I was like, you know. And the guy was like, you know. And I thought we were going to fight. I really did. But I was like, no, I kept driving. He kept driving. It just started eating on me. Just started eating. So later that day, I happened to see him outside of a restaurant. And I pulled over and to apologize, saying, hey, you know, I was the one earlier in that truck that, you know, da-da-da. I just wanted to say sorry. Well, you stupid, da-da-da, you shouldn't have. I'm like, whoa. One, I had a yield sign, you had a stop sign. I was there way before you. Yeah, but going straight always has a right-of-way. I'm trying to apologize, trying to be nice, and I'm going, go back and read your stupid driving handbook. Anyway, so I was like, okay, well, you know, I just wanted to say sorry. See you later. Because if I get out of this truck, anyway, I deal with anger. This is one of the things I still struggle with. And sometimes it might injure others, so you just avoid it. Forgive yourself, move on. We continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. I still mess up. I still have bad thoughts. I still have desires. I mean, I can tell you this. I have not had a desire to get high for almost 20 years now. That desire has gone. Do I have a desire to crawl into a bottle every other day? I do, because life stinks. Do I get angry? Quite often, as you can see. Do I struggle with PTSD? Yes. The nightmares are getting better, but I still have them. And my wife knows if I'm having one, don't touch me, because I swing. If you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Wow. Yeah. Because this is when it's most tricky. When days are going, this is what always worries me too. Things are going great. When is the shoe going to drop? When is something bad going to happen? When am I going to finally snap? And then I got to remember, God's in control. I got to continue to seek God's direction. Daily being in the Word, daily time of prayer, daily time of fellowshipping with others. You know, this calendar that the youth has put out, man, it's been a great thing. I mean, I love working with Delta Chi. I took a break for a little bit because of dealing with some health issues and stuff. I'm glad I'm back. But it's a daily reminder that, man, our teens are struggling. And I work at the school, and I tell you what, things have changed since I was in school. If I talked that way to some of my teachers, yeah, I would have gotten beat. We sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. I got to be in constant contact with my Maker for the strength and the help. And the more I learn about Jesus and the way He is, this is one of my favorite stories about Jesus. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, Jesus is lovey-dovey, da-da-da. My favorite story is when He goes in the temple and just goes bazonkers, like tossing tables and chasing them around with a whip and stuff. I'm going, yeah, I like that. I can relate. Why? Because He was passionate about His Father's temple. I want that passion. I want to be that passionate about my Lord, my Savior. Let the word of the Lord dwell in you richly. My fifth step is I had to celebrate the milestones. Now, I'm not one of the ones, when I did AA, I didn't like the coins. I don't care about that. Now, my military coins, those are cool. Those were fun because, you know, that's usually someone that you looked up to giving you one. But celebrating the fact that, man, here's one of the ways I celebrate not smoking and chewing. I walk into the gas station and look at the prices going, whoo-hoo, glad I don't do that no more because holy cow, that stuff's expensive. And then I saw a deal at Shortstop yesterday when I was getting gas. Kansas are wanting to raise taxes more, blah, blah, blah. I'm going, whoo-hoo, do it because I don't have to pay those because I don't buy that stuff. I haven't had a spiritual experience as a result of these steps. We try to carry this message to others and to practice these principles in all our affairs. This is why I got, part of why I got involved, is to share. This is, I was thankful when Pastor David came and asked me to do this, because of the fact is, I want to be an encourager. And knowing, because, you know, and some of you have only known me for a few years. If you've known me for my whole lifetime, then you'd be like, wow, that kid's really changed. When I showed up to my class reunion this past summer, 25 years, you know, when you hit those mile markers, you know, you're just like, oh, man. But I walked in, you know, and when I got friends going, you're a what? You're a preacher? No, you're not in prison? No, no, that's where I was heading when I was in school. They all knew that. And actually, in my yearbook, that's what it said. I was voted most likely to end up in prison. I avoided it. But it's that thing. It's being able to speak to others. That's the same way that speaking to teens about teen pregnancy. If I can share what God has helped us through and let others know that, hey, you can get through it. Is it ideal? No. I wouldn't advise it for anybody. Does it happen? Too often. But you know what? God is still there, still loving. I, like I said, I had to tell others. Lastly, I had to go back and repeat the steps each time I identify a new problem. This is a never-ending process. Recovery is not a one-and-done deal. There are still some struggles. And like I said, I keep identifying new things. This is what, you know, it's like, man, you just think you're doing good. And then, you know, something else appears or whatever. But the more I discover about that, the better I can be, the better I can be there for my kids. That's one of the main reasons, too, that I'm doing this, is for my kids. Because I want to be around to see some grandkids. They can hold off. I don't want anyone yet. But you know what? I've just been thankful, and this is what I've praised my two older, and I still have two at home, and I'm ingraining it into them, and I'm proud of it. You know, and this is what I told my son yesterday before he left. I said, I'm proud of the fact that he's 21. He's in the military. He's doing good. Not married, doesn't have kids yet. Woohoo! My daughter's 24, hopefully soon to be married, but no kids yet. I'm like, woohoo, you guys did better than us. Because at your age, we already had a couple kids. So they're doing better. And so far, they're all keeping their noses fairly clean. I have yet to pick them up from jail, like my folks did all the time. I've yet to have to bring them home because they're drunk or stoned out of their gourd. I'm thankful. But I'm thankful that my Lord Jesus Christ has saved me from that mess and gives me the strength every day. I know some of you can relate to this. And then you're looking at me and going, oh, you're young. You shouldn't even be thinking this yet. But every day that I wake up and can get out of bed, because trust me, there are some days I can't get out of bed because of my back. But the days I wake up, I'm thankful. God has given me another chance to honor him with my day. Because we never know. My brother that just got killed this past year, 11 years younger than me. Two kids. Bad way. Should never have happened. I'm thankful for the rest of the time that I have. My encouragement to you is come check out Celebrate Recovery. You know, it's not just for someone who's got addictions. As you saw on that list, there's all kinds of things. If you have any form of hurt, habit, or hang-up, this program's for you. We're getting ready to start next month. The step study, the 12 steps that we just went through, minus the 7 that I threw in there for myself. But we're going to be looking at those in depth, and that's where the real recovery begins with this program. The meetings Thursday night are great because we're getting to know each other in our small groups, but it's going to make it a lot easier then when we start these step studies to be able to really start the recovery process. And so I encourage you, come check it out, because it's well worth it. And trust me, you're not going to be turned away, because we're all messed up. That's why we're there. Guess what? You're all messed up. That's why you're here, right? And we know where the source of healing is, don't we? It's Jesus Christ. So I encourage you, come check it out. If not, hey, be praying for us. Be praying for us, because like I said, having people praying for us is one of the things that helps us through. Being an encourager, that's a big plus there as well. I thank you for the time this morning. Let me pray a blessing over y'all. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much, Lord, for what you have done for me, what you've done for others, with your love, your strength. Lord, as we continue on this road following you, Lord, that you have promised to never leave us or forsake us. And to someone that is hurting or has bad habits or hang-ups, That's the greatest news they can hear. Lord, I just thank you for my brothers and sisters here, Lord, that they are willing to support a program like this, that they are willing to be there if need be. Lord, I just ask that you watch over them, watch over their families. Bless them this week, Lord, as they enjoy each day that you give them. We thank you for all you do in your name. Amen.